now we bring him in. Last night we had a lot of fun hanging out at Maxwell's in Cedarburg. Our Green and Gold analyst Paul Emig on the line. Paul, good stuff today, man. How you doing?
Yeah, I mean, it didn't take me long to get home last night, Bill. That's like right down the street from my house.
I was going to say, you can kind of crawl home from that place. Not that we had to, but yeah, good stuff. So last night's discussion was all over the place about many different things. So now that you had I went home and I thought about, okay, what happens if Aaron Rodgers comes out and plays really, really well? Is it an indictment of Mike McCarthy? Or is it an indictment of himself? And if he starts hitting throws, throws that he wasn't making before, the conspiracy theorists are going to point the finger at Aaron Rodgers and go, aha, you try to get your coach fired. And I finally just walked away going, you know what? It's just the eyeball test. I just want to see how they play now that Joe Philbin's in charge.
No, I'm with you. That's all I want to see. I want to see how they play. I want to, you know, I mentioned to you last night, and I still think it's a point of reference now. Why was Tuesday's optional lift day the most highly attended optional lift day of the season? Why was that? And I think the more you read and the more you hear stuff from former coaches and you know, from people who have been in these situations, players across all professional sports are often motivated by a big shakeup and motivated by a big change. And so it's kind of one of those, oh, geez, if they can get rid of him, they can get rid of me type of things. And really, outside of Aaron Rodgers, that applies to everybody in the building. And if, you know, trading Clinton Dix and trading Montgomery and cutting Whitehead and, you know, letting go of Winston Moss after a tweet, and if none of those things got the message across, I mean, if Mike McCarthy gets fired, so can anybody else, maybe not named Aaron Rodgers. So I think it's a huge point of reference to mention the Tuesday optional lift having the greatest attendance of the year. And why did it take Mike McCarthy getting fired for that to happen? Good question. Not an easy answer. It's probably an indictment on a lot of things that were happening, and it's not a positive for, you know, for the end of McCarthy's tenure. But I do expect, you know, if people think, you know, are the Packers going to sink or swim here or try hard, not try hard, you know, over the next four games of what's essentially mostly going to be a preseason for them and meaningless football, I think the answer is going to be, you know, in the affirmative towards the positive. And, you know, it's not necessarily a negative about McCarthy or necessarily a positive about Philbin, but, man, I mean, 36 hours after McCarthy's fired, everyone suddenly comes into lift on optional lift day on a Tuesday, and then you know, you have this motivating, uniting speech from McCarthy on Wednesday that gets a standing ovation. I mean, the players aren't lacking for motivation. The team is not lacking for motivation. I think everybody's butt is on the line that has been proven this year. It doesn't matter if you're Clinton Dix or if you're Montgomery or if you're Mike McCarthy or Winston Moss. You had better, you know, show up, play well, try hard, give it your all, and have a good performance, because otherwise, you know, it just doesn't seem to matter who you are. They, you know, Mark Murphy and Brian Gutekunst are not Ted Thompson. They are much more, you know, to matter of fact, much more, you know, ruthless aggression, whatever you want to call it. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that in a very just like business type of way. This is how it's going to be if you want to be successful in this, you know, this type of culture and environment. So, yeah, Bill, I expect a highly motivated team. I don't know if it's going to magically turn Aaron Rodgers' season around. I certainly don't subscribe. I think I was maybe in the minority last night with you and Bart Winkler in regard to if Rodgers plays well, that it leads to some type of, well, Rodgers was purposely not trying thing. I don't buy any of the conspiracy stuff, but it would certainly mean maybe he was at least temporarily or maybe perhaps permanently refocused, re-energized, re-motivated, the three key words I've gone to with you this week when we've talked about it. So, yeah, I don't think the Packers are going to come out and sleepwalk through this game. I think you're going to see a highly motivated team.
As far as, because Joe and I were sitting here talking before the show about, is this going to be a shootout? Do you think it's going, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if it ended up 37-35 or 35-34, something like that.
Sure.
But I've until this thing gets witnessed to be consistent, I am so – I've watched this team with the first 20 plays scripted be fantastic and then watch the wheels fall off until it's desperation time and then they come storming back. I've seen them make their own mistakes to where they can't get out of the way. I've seen third down sacks. I've seen third down passes that stick to the quarterback's hands or go flying into the dirt. What would lead me to believe that this team has it in them to post 35 points on the Atlanta Falcons all of a sudden just because Mike McCarthy's gone?
Well, I mean, it's easier said than done, but do Aaron Jones' touches go up? I think they will. I suspect you're going to see a very Aaron Jones-led offense to a certain extent, and that was something that Mike McCarthy got more and more comfortable with. I mean, if you compare week 3, 4, 5, 6 to recent weeks, there was certainly more Aaron Jones, but it never eclipsed a significant mark. And I know there's probably a lot of people who are maybe even sick of the Aaron Jones hype train because it's, you know, so many people got on board so quick and so fast. Nobody in the NFL with the you know, minimum number of attempts to qualify averages more yards per carry than Aaron Jones, which is like 6.5. So you want to get 6.5 yards on first down? You know, all of a sudden you're 2nd and 3 every single time, 2nd and 4. And I just think you're going to see more Aaron Jones. You know, I wonder, you know, if because you can't change too much in the span of an NFL week, given how little practice time they're allowed to have nowadays, you know, I think it's more about inventiveness. And there's going to be plays in the playbook that you know the Packers have that they just weren't going to. And I think you can even go to some recent games where, to your point about the scripted first 20 versus the rest of the game, there was more inventive stuff early on that kind of trickled away. And I would venture to believe in a scenario in which Joe Philbin has nothing to lose, in which the Packers as a team really have, you know, they're not technically quite yet eliminated from the playoff contention, but for the most part, they have nothing to lose. I think you're going to see that type of looseness and that type of, inventiveness and everything else. So, this game, for as little as it technically, quote-unquote, matters towards, you know, a postseason berth this year or not, this is a fascinating game to watch to see how all these different things come out, especially offensively.
So, as much as we want to look at Aaron Rodgers, what else are we looking for? All of a sudden, are we going to start seeing receivers running correct routes, guys suddenly being on the same page, trust being established? See, this is where, at this point in the game, when you're 11 games into this thing, 12 games into this thing, I'm looking at this going, I don't really see much changing. And if so, what was the difference? The accountability thing that Winston Moss tweeted about, I think, can be looked at as somewhat real. I've always said where there's smoke, there's fire. But then again, I'm also thinking to myself, well, in reality, is this going to get much? But I don't know why I'm so pessimistic about this. Maybe it's because history has told me every time you get out over your skis regarding the Packers, it ends up slapping you in the face. Maybe that's just where I'm at right now.
Sure. I mean, I don't blame you for the thought process. I guess it would just be, you know, every player has multiple things motivating them, and every coach has multiple things motivating them. For some of these guys, you know, the back third of the roster, you know, you might not just be so easily able to jump onto another team and get another chance next year. Now, the middle third of the roster, and of course the top half of the roster, top, you know, third of the roster, you know, can get jobs wherever they want, but again, it's why would Randall Cobb be unmotivated just because the Packers are eliminated from the playoffs or soon to be eliminated from the playoffs? He has a contract to earn. Why would Clay Matthews be unmotivated? He's got a contract to earn. You know, even like guys who do have a contract but could get cut, like Brian Bulaga if he's able to play, Jimmy Graham, you know, guys who could get cut and who have, you know, like Nick Perry's obviously and can't play on Sunday, but he's an example of many who, like, has Nick Perry on, I think it's March 3rd, of next year, have a $4.5 million, if he's still on the roster by that day, bonus. You know, like, it's not just wins and losses that's at stake. It's millions of dollars individually for them and for their futures. And you know, so I guess maybe I'm foolish, Bill. Maybe I've, you know, part of drown out the wings last night, I took some Packers Kool-Aid on accident. I don't know if that helped wash down the wings, but it's you know, I guess I'm not pessimistic. In fact, I'm oddly optimistic because, and again, maybe I'm totally overblowing this whole Tuesday optional lift thing. Maybe I've fabricated this in my head to be a big deal. But I guess until I see otherwise, I think that's an interesting factor that I can't seem to get away from in terms of the importance of it.
Talking with Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, and defensively speaking, now Joe had asked me this question in the buy or sell segment of the program. I'll ask you, how, you know, he said to me it would be moronic to get rid of Mike Pettine after only one season as the Packers defensive coordinator. How much in favor are you of Mike Pettine sticking around as the Packers defensive coordinator?
Strongly, very strongly. I think, you know, one of the things Bart Winkler said last night on the huddle was, you don't go through 10 years of Dom Capers and then get 1 year of Mike Pettine where a lot of things get better and then get rid of Mike Pettine after 1 year. I mean, it's more complicated than that because this was always Mike McCarthy, Dom Capers, Mike McCarthy, Dom Capers, Mike McCarthy, Dom Capers. And then all of a sudden Mike McCarthy finally decided to make a change. This is a whole new world, not just because the head coach is gone, but because the people making the decisions are now new. And by that, I mean Mark Murphy taking over the, you know, the power structure. So there's it's a different world. And I kind of referenced this last night that, in a way, I think we would all be smart to erase anything we learned you know, from 2005 to 2017, because we all, I think, trained our minds to think a certain way about what the quote unquote Packers do. No, that was what Ted Thompson did. It's and everything has taken a complete opposite course of that nowadays. And so, but having said about Mike Pettin, what more would you have wanted the guy to do? I think Bill, you know, you and I had given him a grade recently, and I thought your grade was a bit harsh. I think you said C plus, B minus, and I was more in the B plus type of category. And it's not because he has the best defense in the league. And this is a Packers defense that has not, you know, for all the things they have done well, including sacks, which I think they still rank fourth or fifth in the league. You know, they were ranked like 23rd in takeaways. You know, they have, the Bears, by the way, have, you know, went into last week at least with 29 takeaways. The Packers had 12. I mean, that's a 2.5 times more multiplier. That's why the Bears are good this year and the Packers aren't. It's one of many reasons. So, you know, Joe said the word moronic. I'm probably not far from that. So, and I think the only thing I would say is, you know, let's say you go out and Lincoln Riley, you know, the hot young name from Oklahoma that everybody wants, or not everybody, but a lot of people want. They say, Lincoln Riley, we want to offer you this job. Lincoln Riley says, I would love to accept that job, but you have to let me bring in my own defensive coordinator. Well, then you say, okay. You know, that for me, that would be the only thing that would change the equation, is if the guy for head coach you really want says, I'd love it, thank you, I want to accept, but I need my own D coordinator, you say, maybe somewhat begrudgingly, but if this is the head coach you want, you have to go along with it. Okay, fine. Do you know what I mean? So I think you bring Mike Pettin back unless the head coach that you really want maybe insists otherwise.
Paul, good stuff. We will break this all down come Monday. We'll see what the reaction is to all of this. Stick around, okay?
Yeah, sounds good, Bill. Have a good weekend.
Appreciate it, Bill. Talk to you later. There you go. That is Paul Emig, our green and gold analyst, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years, they're going to get done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.